It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Greetings and welcome, everybody. Ray Adams here. This is the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Thank you so much for joining. Dr. Bob Denny, PGA of America historian emeritus, will be joining in just one moment. And then we have a couple of very special guests in this special edition for the Women's U.S. Open Championship wrap-up. Don't forget about Jack's Memorial Tournament. We won't either. And we have a couple of other events that we'll wrap up and look at those final leaderboards as well. Alyssa Godet from Women's Golf Day will join soon. And then later, Tina Toombs, LPGA Tour player, won on the LPGA Tour. But for the last numbers of years, 20 years, Tina has been one of the most well-celebrated teachers in golf nationally. She's won every award. She's based here in Phoenix. Great friend of mine. Tina will be coming on more and more and more with Dr. Bob and Craig and I as we continue to focus on the women's game, well, and golf in general. So lots happening for this show. Can't wait for us to get going here. And I want to start with this. I think you will appreciate it.
And now it is my honor to welcome the champion of the 81st United States Women's Open with a score of 276, the Mickey Wright gold medal for the winner of the 81st U.S. Women's Open goes to Nelly Korda of Bradenton, Florida.
All right, well, that was just the announcement of Nelly Korda being the Women's U.S. Open champion, and she wins the gold medal. And we will see if we can work on that a little bit. But more than that, I think we have to start the show with the greatest news in golf on any tour, anywhere, and from the weekend. Dr. Bob, don't you agree? It's the Women's U.S. Open Championship at Riviera, and Nelly Korda gets that much closer to not just Hall of Fame, but I think her fourth major. Half of them won in just the last few weeks.
It was one of the best contested women's opens I've seen. It wasn't anybody running away with it. It was tremendous navigation and short game and scrambling ability by Nelly Korda, 80%. She had a scrambling percentage, and she just did it when she had to, making big putts and being very smart on where she put her golf ball on that golf course on coming in. Charlie Hull, 10 under for the weekend. She would have won by two if it was a 36-hole event. She had almost had a hole-in-one. She played very solid again and five runners up in her career now. She's almost got the Phil Mickelson record, but not quite that. But that's for the U.S. Open. But hers is overall, and she's so close to winning, but she just needs that consistency. And I was really impressed with Gabby Lopez, how she had her short game. I think we had a package of great players. It wasn't just one Asian player, or it wasn't just Nelly. They all had to fight their way through it. And that's the way a U.S. Open should be. And I've played Riviera. I know exactly what they're facing, because I was in worse spots than they were in with my golf ball.
Yeah.
But I just really impressed with the way it handled it. They got lucky on the weather. They had some wind coming at the end, but it wasn't severe. And it was just a wonderful U.S. Open to watch, and it was compelling. We want compelling golf.
You know, Bob, this is some of the greatest golf I've watched in a long time. Now, don't tell me that the PGA Tour hasn't provided some amazing golf. They have. Look at the players with Cam Young. Look at Scottie Scheffler's play. Look at Rory. I mean, we can go on and on and on about some of the greatest moments in golf history that we're seeing, maybe not week in and week out on the PGA Tour, but we're certainly having those great golf and golf TV moments. Pound for pound, though, I think the women have it, Bob. Not just week in and week out, but Nelly astounded us, became the absolute rock bottom, perfect ambassador for ladies golf, women's pro tour golf, LPGA tour golf globally. Year before last, she wins seven times, and now she's won two majors back to back. The last person that did that was quite a long time ago in Julie Engster. And Nelly is just, well, she's just one of these people that compels. She dominates. She's the Scottie Scheffler of the LPGA Tour. She even has the same kind of a personality. I interviewed her at the Ford a couple months ago. She's very adult. She's very mature. She's very savvy with the media. She's very articulate. She's the best of the best. There's just nobody like Nelly, one of my favorites. You know, Betsy King was on our show Saturday, and I want to let everybody know that that went uninterrupted for nearly the full hour, Bob. No advertising until the tail end. Betsy King gave us some fabulous insight. What an amazing interview with Hall of Famer and a back-to-back Women's U.S. Open winner, in Betsy King. One of the things Betsy said was she wished that there were more American players on the women's LPGA Tour leaderboards. Talk about that.
We got a few. We even had an amateur, Kiara Romero.
Well, this tournament was different. It
Yes,
was. But
I know what she's
week
saying.
in
I
and
know what
week
she's
out,
saying.
you know what Betsy meant.
Oh,
And it's
yes.
and not to take anything away from any player ever, never, never.
No. Now, what it takes to get American players at the top of their games to play on the LPGA Tour, it's more than just dollars and cents. There's a mental game, there's coaching, and I'm almost wish that I could be a little fly on the wall to see some of the coaching that goes on before those players arrive, because I think that's a lot to do with it. Nelly comes from a tremendously disciplined sports family. Tennis at the highest levels. They know what it's like under pressure. They don't show a lot of emotion. They keep it within themselves. She navigated herself around like the Nelly that we remember of a couple years ago, and she looked tremendous. And that was exciting to me because this was a better golf tournament to watch than the men's. Let's just flat out say it. This was far more interesting to watch. It had some good moments in it. Great shot making. So, regardless of what people may think, it was fun to watch. And back to Kiara Romero from University of Oregon.
Well, I want to talk about her, but can we save her for just a little bit? Because I have
All
a
right,
couple.
sure.
Yeah, let's save Kiara. I want to focus more on the U.S. Open and Nelly. But I really want to talk about Gabby Lopez. She's one of my favorite players. And Gabby is from Mexico City. She is delightful to interview. I interviewed her at the Ford last year. I have a great video of Gabby and I, and I'm going to release that at the right time when when I interviewed her there. She's not a player that you're going to see in this position very often, if we ever have. You can check on that, Bob, our historian. But she certainly was there this week, and I think she was going to provide a JJ Spawn moment at a US Open. I really did. And I was hoping for it. I wanted her to win. I rooted for her. Yes, Charlie Hull. We'll get to her in a minute. But I really wanted Gabby Lopez to win this golf tournament. And she didn't. You cannot bogey number 16 coming down the stretch at a major. I mean, unless you have multiple stroke lead and you can afford one or two here and there. You just can't do it. And they were all bunched up together. Bob, you just can't afford a bogey there. She did come back with a birdie. She got to seven with Charlie. But when Nelly made her birdie to go to eight. It was over. Well, except for I called a lipped out putt. Go ahead, though.
Yeah, that looked, I think she said something like a ice cream swirl around the top of that cup at the minute. But she was obviously jittery as anybody to know that putt wins the U.S. Open, and that's what it's always been. It's been a standard.
Two
Back to Gabby
feet, 2 feet,
Lopez.
10 inches, by the way.
Right.
We'll get
Back to
to that in a
Gabby.
minute. Go ahead. Back to Gabby, Bob.
3 years ago, Gabby finished tied for third in the Evian Championship, and she was tied for 12th in the Chevron this year. So she knows exactly where she is in her game. She has a chance to make it. So she's been a person who can contend in a major. That's what I'm trying to say. Then she's been there in all five majors, at least at some part. And I think she'll be there. It's just a matter of, like I said, how well you're play mentally at the last part of it, because it's just more than a power game, obviously. It's where you put your ball on that golf course, where you think your way around it. And that was impressive to me, just to see the way they handled it. And I thought they had a good turnout at Riviera, so that was good to see.
They did. Listen, again, women's golf, women's tour golf is certainly the best news in golf globally. It continues to be. And I'm very happy about it. And you want to talk about some good news? Well, we have a very special guest joining us in this special edition of the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. And folks, if you saw her, you'd think she was some kind of a movie star or something. We're joined by Alyssa Godet. She is the founder of Women's Golf Day. She's an author, a businesswoman, a globetrotter, and my friend for so many years, and our friend at this show and Great American Golf. Alyssa, you look like you need
Ray,
to go to Hollywood.
I don't know about that, but thank you, Ray.
How do you
Great to see
feel?
you,
How you do?
Ray
How
and
you doing?
Bob.
Well, w Women's Golf Day has just finally finished after a week, and we want to talk about that a bunch and do a little bit of a wrap up and some of your statistics and metrics and numbers people will be interested in. There was a golf course here in Phoenix that we were mentioning together earlier, and I did have a call there. And we're not going to talk about that course by name, but Alyssa, you and I know. And I just want to let you know that I did have a call over there, sort of anonymously. Yes, it is owned by the city, it's a muni. And they did go with some other weird name. And there were people that were trying to find Women's Golf Day there, and they couldn't. It wasn't there. So they went to another course, I was told. And
Yeah, well, hopefully they
they did. They did.
in Arizona, there's a phenomenal course owned by our friend Don Ray,
At
which
Augusta
does it
Ranch.
every year. They have been doing it. So Augusta Ranch
Yes.
did it. They have been doing it. There's a phenomenal female coach there.
Yes.
She's really engaged and wanting to do it. So, there's great places everywhere. Hopefully people get it. The ones that have done it year over year have seen tremendous success. And I'm not
Yeah.
just talking about the actual event. The whole point is that this is just a way, we bring the horse to water to
Right.
everybody else to make it drink. So
All right,
then once you get the women there, yeah,
we're going to
they're
talk
doing
women's
something.
golf. We're going to talk more women's golf in a couple of minutes. Believe me, I've got a few questions for you, and we want to hear just how big it really was. Later in the show, Tina Toombs, former LPGA Tour player, winner on the tour, one of the nation's greatest and most celebrated and awarded golf instructor. She's right here at Gainey Ranch. She'll join us a little bit later. But back to Bob, and I want you to weigh in, Alyssa. Nelly Korda is a reluctant hero. A reluctant, no, I don't think she's a hero for the young ladies and the girls that go out to all these tournaments. And I think to the fans that watch her on television as well, and has been so now for quite a while. But like a Scottie Scheffler, and we've spoken about this, she's much quieter. She's a little bit more demure. And I don't know that she shies away from being the great ambassador for women's golf that she is. But, and I don't know whether the LPGA Tour is not using her the way they should be, or whether there's been an agreement just to kind of, let everybody do their thing. Bob, what do you make of it?
Well, I don't think they've tried to shy away from promoting a superstar. It's whether the superstar wants to work with them, and I think that's a lot that has to do with just how much they want to be in the forefront and the limelight. Are they staying away from the spotlight? Are they staying away from social media, commercial breaks, and all those kind of things? It's just a matter of the personality. And I don't see a lot of Scottie Scheffler on television, to be honest with you, when it comes to commercial time. A lot, and I think it's with Nelly, it's a lot of it. It's she's focused as an athlete, and I just think that she's happy. She's got a fiance, right? And she's in, I think she's doing, her life is in a pretty good spot. She got the tournament she wanted to win out of the majors. That's the first one she wanted to check off her bucket list, and she got it done. So that's my feeling about her. We don't we're hungry for a dominant star in the women's game, a dominant star that hangs out there that can really put your hat on, and when you turn the channel, that's the person you see, right? We're
Yes.
looking for that, and we're looking for people that let's be honest, people that are in the American player. We're looking for American players to turn that tide, as we have in the old days when Nancy Lopez was doing so well, and she was a star. So that's the kind of thing I think we're just looking for, those kind of things. And as a viewer, as a fan, or whatever it may be.
Absolutely. We said earlier when we first started the show, Bob, that this is probably one of the most entertaining and fun on any tour major championship that we've watched in quite a while. Certainly on the ladies' tour. And congratulations again to Nelly Korda and also to great play from Charlie Hull. But let's focus on Charlie Hull for one moment. Five times the runner-up. She said that she was very, very frustrated in her exit interview. Very frustrated. She complimented Nelly. She was gracious, but I've got to believe that she went home and literally just laid her head on the pillow and said, "What just happened again, Bob?"
Yeah, it hurt. Her runners up stem from 2016 all the way to where we are now, and she's had three, four. Let's make that four open championships where she's finished runner up, and one Chevron. So she's been there all the time. She just can't close it when she needs it. And I've watched her game pretty closely, and I believe that she has a heck of a time on a par three. She dominates par fives. Because she can most hit a lot of them in two, but she's also relentless sometimes with going at the flag when you don't sh when you should not go to that flag. And that I'm not a professional, but Craig, if he was watching it and charting it, he'd probably say the same thing.
Well, we have a nationally celebrated and known golf instructor on with us in a couple of moments. And Tina Toombs is a former LPGA Tour player. She won on the tour. She knows how to do that. And for many years, she's been teaching some great players around the country that come to her. And from children and persons that are just starting the game all the way through to tour players and seniors and recreational players by, well, I think Tina's taught thousands of golfers. Alyssa, I know that you were busy closing Women's Golf Day this year, and I know that you were focused on that. Any comments at all on Nelly or women's golf as far as the tour goes?
Yeah, I mean, if you take a look at the leaderboard, how it shook out, first of all, I think one, it's a great testament to global golf because there's like, I don't know, a quick look, I was like, my gosh, it reads like the UN. So as far as like Americans, I think if you don't have a lot of Americans, this is Nelly plus plus. Plus, Lexi left the game recently. I think some of that plays into like how do people engage. I think it's great globally, but probably Americans are like people want to see somebody they can identify with. I think this is obviously my opinion. And then as far as like marketing and doing things, the players that do stuff with private sponsorships, it's up to those sponsors to do whatever the heck they want to do with those players, how they promote them. But yeah, I think you also have to take a just step and look. The LPGA's in the last 10 years it's had three different commissioners. So I think maybe that plays into it too, as far as like how are you promoting, what are you doing? Everybody that comes in is going to do things a little bit differently. So maybe that, I don't know. That's, I'm not, that's just what I see looking at it from like the business side and the part that I've been on. So,
You
but
know,
I think
Bob.
Nellie is obviously good for the game. And you guys say about like personality and this and that. I mean, she reminds me a lot of Annika. Like it's like head to the ground, really good at what they do, and they're not out there, so I don't know, like whether it's engaging with media or as they're just, I think, a mindful, quiet, dedicated personality. That's what I see.
Well, she's a great role model. You know, Bob, it's not
As
very.
is Annika. Like I was, and I've
Well,
always to this day is like, how was Annika not utilized in the game more when you look at her records and you look back and she is the Tiger Woods of women's golf, I feel like. And I
Well,
just
I
don't
think
feel
she's a great, certainly one of the top three greatest players in history. But you know, like Jack has said so many times, you cannot say there's one greatest player of all time. Now, I do, and I think it's Jack. But he says, and I've heard him talk about it, that you have to go in your generation or your decade that you flourished or a generation. He says Sam Snead was the greatest player for 50 years for a variety of reasons. No one else has ever flourished for a half a century like Sam. So he's got five greatest players. I think certainly Nellie is going to be considered one. She's got some ways to go. She's got to get in the hall. She's 2 points short of that. But Bob, it's not often that we on one show get to have in my great women in golf segment, two of them. So we have Alyssa, and now we're joined, and I've introduced her and talked about her, Tina Toombs. Tina is an LPGA former tour player, as I said, a winner there, and a longtime wonderful instructor, award-winning. I don't know how many awards. They wouldn't fit in my room. I'm also very upset with her, though. She's in a lot of trouble with me today because she gets to be at her house up in Pine Top. Now, that's up on the in the rim country at about, I don't know, 6 or 7,000 feet at White Mountain Country Club, one of the most beautiful places on the planet. And the temperature's probably in the 60s or 70s, I would guess. Tina Toombs, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ray. Thanks for having me.
My
8,000
God.
feet up here, actually.
Is it 6,000? Yeah. Well, I'm sitting here in Anthem Country Club. Thankfully, we're up above the valley, so we're always 4 or 5 degrees cooler than Phoenix, but still, it's hot. Anyway, what a wonderful time to have Alyssa Gaudet, the founder of Women's Golf Day, and now you, Tina Toombs. So there you two are on together with Dr. Bob Denny from the PGA of America. And
Hello.
you told me something earlier, Tina, that I did not know. And that you are not just an LPGA member, but you're also finishing up your PGA of America membership. Tell us about that.
Correct. Well, I decided about a year ago that I was go actually in 2014, I signed in and then I never did get it finished. So this past year I went back and because of my LPGA status, I'm allowed to kind of go through a different program. So I'm doing the teaching and coaching certification and I'm just finishing up my capstone right now to finish my certifications. Yeah.
Yeah,
So I'm
that's great.
excited.
And Tina, you are now teaching at Gainey Ranch Golf Club there in Scottsdale, one of my favorite places. It's absolutely beautiful. But I want everybody to know that even though Tina is at Gainey Ranch Golf Club, and yes, they have their private membership, unless you're staying at the resort or whatever, but anybody can come in off the street, call it any recreational player, young or whoever, and I'm getting ready to send one of my great friends from high school. He and I have been friends forever, and he's going to go see Tina. Anybody can come and see you, Tina, and I think that's very important. You need to contact Gainey Ranch Golf Club. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's get back to the U.S. Open, though, just a little bit. We're going to talk some Women's Golf Day metrics too. I want to hear just how big this year was, Alyssa. But I was sitting in my living room And of course, I was pulling for Gabby Lopez. I've made that clear today. But I'm so glad for Nellie and sorry for Charlie. Okay. So I'm sitting there and I'm begging, pleading, please let there be a playoff. So, of course, Nellie is sitting at 18 at 8 under, and you know she's going to win. She has a 2 foot 10 inch putt, folks. And I said out loud to my wonderful, perfect wife, there's going to be a lip out. She's going to lip out this putt. It's been done before. I think Phil has done it. Others have done it. We know Doug Sanders missed it by a mile for an open championship. She's going to lip out. Do you know that that young lady went round and round and it almost slipped out, but it didn't. What about that? What about that, Tina?
Well, I thought it was pretty I looked at it from two different things because the putt that was, I can't remember her name, I think it was Kim that was playing with her, but she had a downhill putt from above the hole, and that putt went left. And then Nellie's putt was coming up, and of course that was a 2 foot putt, 2.5 foot putt. And I don't know if that played a little bit into Nellie's, into what she was thinking, because watching Kim's putt go left downhill, and then she had that 2.5 footer coming uphill. They said she pulled it. I don't know. I mean, I watched that putt and I just thought she aimed it a little bit left center and then it went left and she may have pulled it. But I mean, that was kind of a, to leave herself a 2.5, 3 foot putt to win that tournament is nerve-wracking in itself. And I'm sure she got over that putt and just thought, I've made this putt a million times. But
Well,
I'm
we
glad it
saw
went in.
her.
I was really happy she made that putt.
Yeah, I'm glad it went in overall because we always want to pull for the great champions. But I would have also been glad if it wouldn't have gone in and we'd have had a playoff and Gabby would have won.
I
Anyway,
get that.
I loved her reaction where she was surprised and she went oh, and put her hand over her mouth and everybody sort of held their breath for a second. Alyssa, have you ever lipped out a putt?
Of course. I'm like not a great golf. I'm a okay golfer.
I'm an okay golfer too, but I don't like lip outs. All right, Bob, let's go back. And I'm going to give you a kind of a final word on the US Open from your standpoint. I don't know if you have a nugget or another word, and then we're going to move on to some great subjects.
Yeah, my nugget is not for women's it'll come later in the program,
Oh, okay.
but for the US Women's Open,
Kira.
five amateurs made the cut, and that's rare. You don't see that very often. And Kiara Romero, born in the United States, University of Oregon, 20 years old, powerful, great athlete. She started her career in the Juilliard School of Art, and she's talented.
Studied ballet and
Ballet,
dance.
yes, yeah, yes, yes. So she's got all the tools to be a great player, and she's wonderful. And Maria Jose Marin was right behind her. There's a lot of talent out there, and it's great to see that. And I think that's a good sign for women's golf.
Well, studying ballet and jazz dance, and my granddaughter Grace started at 3. And continued all the way through and became a professional dancer and now dances for the San Antonio Spurs. You can see her on TV from time to time. And she has that gig now and more to come. But I think when you look at athletics, that studying ballet, I know that there have been NFL football players that had ballet dance training. Because of all that they have to do. Tina, that has to help somebody. And what is your take on this Kiara Romero, this great, great, great young amateur player that plays sixth in the tournament as low amateur, but sixth place?
Yeah, I think I thought she was phenomenal, and I think there's a like Rob was saying, it's I think there's a lot of young golfers in the US that are coming up, with college players, young junior golfers, and I think we're going to see a lot of really great US golfers coming up that are playing great golf, and I think it's just a matter of time. And I thought she was phenomenal. I thought she had well composed I loved watching her play. I thought the junior golfers, the amateur golfers that were playing in the event were really, really good, and says a lot for the US and what's happening in amateur golf and what we have to look forward to. Yeah.
All right, let's turn our attention for a few moments now to I want to get back to Women's Golf Day. Alyssa, you started Women's Golf Day a number of years ago. You started as so many new organizations or businesses start, and that is with the passion, the belief, and well, the guts of one person that says, this can happen, I believe it, and I'm going to do it with the help of the good Lord above and others around me. But there were moments, Alyssa, where you weren't 100% about it years ago, but now you are. Give us some of the metrics. Women's Golf Day has just finished. Give us some of the metrics, some of the stats of this year's Women's Golf Day around the world.
Yeah, sure. So first, so people understand, it is a program to help the industry. This isn't like our thing, Women's Golf Day that we do to, as a business to just get more. It really was to try to solve the problem within the industry. There was fragmentation. There was a lot of gatekeepers, or people didn't know how to really do something that would attract women. So based off of data, whatever, we created this program that is a 4-hour experience. First 2 hours, women that play golf, play 9 holes, women who are new are taking lessons, and then there's 2 hours of socializing. The golf courses register with us and they host it. So it's a giant licensing, letting anybody come in. We have private clubs, public, Valderrama's, Olympic clubs, to Muni's, to Top Tracer places, what have you. So that's the idea, to be as inclusive. We're supported by the USGA, the PGA of America. And all the reason I say all this is because this is for the industry, like this is the ultimate Jerry Maguire, help me help you. So now in our 11th year, it was in 5 different continents. We had Brazil come on for the first time,
Five continents.
five continents, Africa. We had events. And the places that have been doing it for a while, you just see the numbers are huge. The women are totally bought in. And I think there's some method to our madness. We told everybody to wear red and white. I mean, that's like, if anybody's ever gone to, like, I went to Catholic school. So if you've gone there or been in the military or something, you understand the power of a uniform with regard to, we're creating some kind of, it's unity. It's everybody together. I mean, there's a lot more to this, I think, than people, it's just like, that is really the core of this. Like, let's just let everybody, no matter if you're fat or you're skinny, if you're pretty or you're not so pretty, or you're, this is not, we're not trying to, like, hoochie mama this thing. We're trying to make it like everybody truly is welcome, no matter what color you are, no matter what religion you are. So you see
Over a
that.
thousand, over a thousand golf courses worldwide, five continents. You've got some unbelievable sponsors, tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of women and young girls attending Women's
Yeah,
Golf
and
Day.
that's the most
You've
important
got some
thing.
great sponsors. Tell us three or four of some of your, and all of the different organizations are involved, the PGA of America, and I think the RNA, and then the tour. I know Troon has been a big supporter. Give us some of your big sponsors.
Yeah, I mean, those is, it's changed. It comes in and comes out over the years. The consistent have been the governing bodies and the NGCOA Canada, which has a female president now. That's great to see, as well as the NGCOA of Canada and the PGA of Canada. NGCOA of Europe, which also has a female president. And I think it's interesting to see that. I don't want to go off tangent, but I think people know, like, there's a lot of great supporters and that's it. But it really comes down to people at the golf course doing it and really wanting to see more women and girls play golf and then engaging them and having them do it. We had, we leaned into post-COVID, it went from 1 day to a week. So now the golf course can do it any day within this week. And it's called Women. We have Women's Golf Day Week. We also have that URL and own that name thing. But at any individual location, it's still a day. So it's Women's Golf Day at during this week, last Tuesday, May, first Tuesday in June. During that period, we had a little over 5 million impressions on social media. We got the, yeah. And last year was like 4,046,000, something like that. So another big jump. I mean, social media is
Wow.
a huge component. And I think you and I talked about this on a conversation, not on the radio or what have you. But I think for us it's important to what I initially said is to show women out there, especially young women, that you just be you and you go play golf. This is not to make it like some type of Instagram clickbait, which I see a lot of, and it concerns me a little bit. Everybody can do what they want, but it's really about playing golf, feeling welcome, not so much who's got the cutest outfit and the cutest, what have you. That's,
Well,
if you
there are
feel good
so
about you,
many.
that's important, but
Well, there are so many.
that's not the number one thing.
Right,
That's
that's
all
not.
I'm
It's
saying.
about golf and learning the game and enjoying the game.
And we don't see that on the men's side. You don't see guys half naked with a shirt off putting. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't.
Listen. You don't
I
have
don't,
to.
Tina, I don't
You
know if you
listen.
feel the same way, but and it's
We
not
not
me
only
being
feel the
old or
same.
curmudgeon. It's just like, let's not, lose the forest between the trees there. Like, the point is
I
about golf.
definitely do.
Well, I not
Yeah, it's
only
about
feel
golf.
the same way. I've got three daughters, and I'm sorry, I don't like the naked pile of poop going on out there with all these girls that want to just build up social media numbers. I'm not downing anybody, but I believe we've talked about it on this show. Can't wait to hear Tina on this one. But
I
I
don't know
believe
if
that I believe that influencers in general have hit the top of the peak, top of the mountain. And they're going to be sliding down. I think that they are eventually going to fade away. I think companies are wise to know and to look and to see that golf and other types of industries, ambassadors, are going to have a new look, a new shape, and a new form. I think it's going to be AI generated. Where am I going wrong? I don't know when. That I think that these young ladies that have decided to show more of their Playboy centerfold layout bodies when they're swinging a club than helping the game of golf are going to go away. Tina, can't wait for your take.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a big believer in going out. I'm one that is pretty traditional in dress, and I grew up in the golf in the private golf club, growing up in that industry. So I've always kind of been kind of proudful in how I dress and how I handle myself at a golf course. So when I see young women coming out half dressed to do taping and then watch their golf swings and watching them trying to promote stuff, to me it's I can't say it's what they want to do. It's their business. I don't want to say what they're doing is wrong or
Right,
right,
right.
but it's not something that I would do. But everybody is to each their own. I look at it like, I think if golf courses are allowing it and allowing women to come out half dressed, then that's really up to the golf course. And I don't like it. I don't like to see it, and I don't like to see women out there swinging half dressed. That's just my opinion.
Well, I
I wouldn't
agree
want
with
to see
you.
men that way either. And so, for me, I really, you don't need a collared shirt or anything, but I think it's nice to be dressed. I'm
Well,
pretty
Bob,
traditional in the
now see
golf.
now, Bob, right there, she's just called you out. So you've got to stop all of this stuff with, these
Being
muscle.
naked.
Yeah, none of this.
I made it a point to always go to the tee full dressed.
I don't
Well, the
know.
thing
I'm just
about
that
some of
way.
these people too is they're not even hardly golfers. I mean, okay, they can swing a club. Okay, they might be able to hit the ball. Okay, maybe they played a little bit in college, but they're not golfers. They're not pros. And then they no.
No, I just
So, all right, we're done with all that. Let's keep going. Alyssa, let me give you the final word on womensgolfday.com, everybody. You want to go there, you want to be a part of what's happening. And it's not just once a year, Alyssa. Yes, Women's Golf Day
Every
is
day.
once a year, but it's every single day. Shouldn't it be every day, Alyssa?
Yeah, of course. But it should, of course, it's every day. And we did a little campaign this year. It says, we also have the URL Women Golf Daily. So somewhere around the world there's a woman golfing daily. Yes. But for the purpose of the in very fragmented industry and very data showing that number one of the number one things is women feel intimidated, not welcome. This is 1 week where we all collaboratively work together to highlight it. And then, as I always say, bring the horse to water. It's up to the PGA, LPGA teachers to go out, get these people that are enthused, and take them on their journey. How, and it could be nine and wine. It could be, you know, that's where I feel like we are very, not everybody's got to be a league player. Because if we are talking about the industry and the growth of the industry, if that woman's son or daughter decides to have their wedding at that country club, they will make more money than if the woman played golf once a week, every week for 52 weeks. So it's just like people are also different life stages. And I think women are multitaskers and take on a lot. And I don't think you're going to be like, there was a feeling I always felt, and what we heard from, there's like all or nothing. You have to be like this hardcore. No, I mean, listen, if you're not going to be an, like Tina, an L, you know, a teaching pro or play professionally, or you want to get a scholarship, then you should just be enjoying the game, whatever that looks like for you. As long as you don't hold people up, and there's plenty of these, like, you know, nine hole. I'm the queen of those. I had a, we have a league here in West Palm during the winter, and it's a par three. And it starts at 5:30. I'm all over that. That's like
I love
works for
that.
me in my schedule.
I love
Yeah,
that.
an hour and a half. I'm through it. I've had some fun. I met some women. We did it. You know, and plus, hey, that's where our
Right.
game is. You know, short game is where you're gonna make the points,
Well,
make the money, whatever.
and I want ladies to know. So, ladies listening, and by the way, about 30% of my audience for radio and television, and my big 250,000 golfer email marketing list are women. And they're the fastest growing segment in golf globally. And we're glad for that. But I
Not
want you
just
to
your good
know,
looks.
do what?
Yeah. I think it's
It's
really
not just your
important
good
too.
looks that they're after.
Well,
It's all about empowerment,
I
women.
don't know, but I don't know about my good looks. I like their looks. Anyway, look, I've got three daughters, so I'm through, and my wonderful wife. I'm surrounded by beauty. And all of you all of you great women too. What a joy and a privilege to be able to get to know folks like you and Debbie and Jill and oh, I could name so many of you, but I just did an unbelievable interview for 10 minutes with Beth Daniel and Meg Mallon. You talk about two of the coolest people. I love them. And all the ladies on the tours that I've interviewed and just, but ladies, I want you to know, you don't have to be good to play golf. The governing bodies say, and I think this came out from the RNA a number of years ago. Bob, you can check it and correct me if I'm wrong in the future. But I believe the RNA said that when played by the strict rules of golf, 90% of golfers in the world cannot break 100. Now that goes for the men who are the majority of golfers on the earth. So, ladies, if you're not very good, go play. You'll get better. Chip and putt. Tina's going to give you some tips here in a minute. I mean, but really, you don't have to be good to play golf. It's there as a recreation, it's there as a joy. It's there to be in the great outdoors and the open spaces. It is there for you to breathe, and it's there for you to stretch out with that club swinging around. And hey, you're going to get better, play from the proper tee, and have fun. That's my word. Alyssa, thank you so much for being with us today. Alyssa's on with us and will be again and again and again. She's always ready anytime. Well, she's a bit of a globetrotter, though, so I don't know. Dealing with these movie stars, Bob, sometimes you got to pin them down.
No, that's not true. But I will tell you a nice little story there. So, on Bob, real quick, is I went over as was globetrotting. You brought up, I w did go to the Hassan II and the Lala Miriam tournament in Rabat,
Yes.
Morocco, which was
Yes.
like the week prior. So they changed the dates, and for me, it was like week before Women's Golf Day. But on my ride to the airport on Sunday, I was in the van that was just me for the time that I was leaving the flight I was on, that they take you to Casablanca. And they said, oh, we got to stop at another hotel. I was like a little like a bummer, you know, like that, like
Yeah.
annoyed. Like I should not be annoyed
Yeah.
because
Yeah.
they take such good care of us. So we pull up at this kind of boutique-y hotel that's near the course. And I see all the workers like from the hotel lined up and like clapping. And who walks out but Anna? Hung, HUANG. I'm
Oh
not
yeah.
Hung. So
Fun.
she won, yeah. And unfortunately, she just missed the cut. I saw she missed the cut if for the U.S. Open. She was playing there, but it was her and her dad. So then I had this nice little ride, and I didn't drive him crazy, for like an hour and a half to the airport, just the three of us. And what a treat that was, you know what I mean? So could not be nicer, her and her dad. So I'm really happy for her. I'd love to see her excel more. She's already won three times on the LET, but
Wonderful.
yeah, what a great little, like, you never get, you
Well,
know,
yeah,
that time alone.
one of those kind of I don't know, divine appointments or wonderful happenstance. And we did follow you. I followed you on all of your wonderful posts from Morocco. Boy, some of that food, the fashion, the golf, I mean, what a beautiful place. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And I'll just say
Elizabeth.
one is that that tournament has been going on, the Hassan 2, for 50 years, more than a lot of tournaments, except maybe majors. And then for the last 29 years, consecutively, they've been running a men's and women's. So it's ladies LET, and now it's PGA Men's Championship Tour. Simultaneous courses, clubhouse in the middle, little road. You can cross over and watch the best of men and women. I don't, for 29 years, people are saying, okay, this is like North
Introducing
African
the
country, Mozambique. Come
revolutionary
on,
tea
people. Like,
clip,
how are
a
they like
4-in-1
way ahead of the
magnetic
ball?
tea holder,
Way
an
ahead of the ball.
alignment tool,
29
a
years they've been
dividend
doing it
repair tool,
consecutively
and a ball
together.
marker. It's
And
handcrafted to provide
50 years of
effortless
that
access
tournament,
to your
but you
golf
know, they
tees, all
saw it as a
without
great way
digging
to
in your
let people know
pockets.
about
Visit our
Morocco, and they've done an
website,
excellent job. So,
theteaclip.com, to
bravo, hats
experience
off.
the difference
Alyssa,
and
thank you
order
so much.
yours now.
WomensGolfDay.com, Alyssa Gaudet. She'll be
Straight
back
line
on with
golf
us time
brings you
and
the
time
club
again.
alignment
We're going to go out for a
system.
short
Change
break.
the
I've
way
got
you
to
play
pin the
golf
Bills
while
Bob
reducing
Hold
your
on
strokes in the
here.
course.
Give me a
How many
minute.
times have you
And when
bought
we
a
come back,
golf fade
more
that
from
fell
Tina
short of
Toombs,
success?
more
Our
from
system
Dr.
is
Bob Denny,
changing the way
and
golf is played,
maybe your
whether
humble
novice
correspondent
or
might have one or
professional.
two
Our
words to
patented club
say.
alignment
But
system
today
is
is
a
golf
visual
long
aid
and
that
golf's long
implies
as a
that
day.
decals
We've
attached
got
to
to
your
at
club
least mention
shaft
that.
and can be
So
left
lots
on the
more to
shaft
come.
while you
Everybody,
play. This
don't move.
USGA
We're going to go
permitted
out for
system will
these
help with
important
real
messages
people
from
shots
great
and great
sponsors
alignment
that help
hand
all of
swing.
this come
Visit
together. Thank you so
straightline.golf for
much
more
for having
details.
a listen.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. So
All right, greetings. Welcome back to the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Ray Adams here with you. We're joined by Dr. Bob Denny, PGA of America's historian emeritus, and Tina Toombs, one of my favorite people and one of the great women in golf, teaching right here at Gainey Ranch Golf Club in the Scottsdale, Arizona market. And we're going to hear from Tina in just a moment. But Bob is waving, waving, waving. I've got to say thank you to Tour Edge Golf. The new putter is absolutely otherworldly with technology, the way they have built it. The T-Zone, you've got to get to touredge.com. John Claffey will be coming on this show. We're going to be talking about it. And I have so many other great guests joining me very, very soon over the few shows, the next few shows coming. I think you're going to be very impressed. We will continue, of course, week in and week out to cover all of the different tours. I also want to thank Squares Golf Shoes, Squairz. Again, with me for so many years, like Tour Edge. Thank you so much, Squares, for not only being a sponsor, but for continuing to put out the shoe that has been the disruptor, the distance shoe, the comfort shoe, the shoe that keeps your balance, the shoe that will give you more power because of the ground force reaction, and the shoe that is worn by PGA Tour players. One of them is one of Bob's new favorite players, Mr. Ratan. We'll talk about that as we go forward with Squares and have them on the show with us. And then finally, I have to thank CertaFreshCigar.com. CertaFresh Cigar, Eric Nelson, his whole family-owned business and team. They're in 3,000 golf shops with their specially packaged and humidified cigars powered by Bovida so that you have a cigar that's certified fresh up to a year. 3,000 golf shops and growing. Thank you very much, sort of fresh cigar. Bob, take off.
I was just giving some hand signals, waving goodbye to Alyssa. That's how I
Oh,
was. But
oh.
I wondered if Tina or you or am I the only one that watched the closing of the KLM Open in Amsterdam on the DP World Tour?
You
Did
are.
anybody catch the last hole of that?
I did not, but I
It's the
wanted to
most
mention
it's
it.
the
I did not.
weirdest, most bizarre finish I've ever seen
Tell us.
anywhere.
Tell us.
Okay, protesters were in the pond to the left of the 18, trying to prevent groups from coming up. The tournament enlisted their entire staff to block the protesters lining up on the edge of the pond while the golfers were coming up 18. So I saw a wall of people there standing. I said, "What in the devil is going on?" There was never any reason why the protest was going on. It's Amsterdam, folks. Anything can go in Amsterdam, right? Okay. All I know is the players were able to finish. The protesters never get ran across the green. And we have all these tournament people standing on the edge of the pond. And Eugenio Chacara of Spain, former LIV player, birdies the last hole to win by one, helping his way on to the tour. He gets It's a better pathway for him by winning that event. So it's his dream. But that is the weirdest thing I've ever watched. And at the end of it, all the staff clapped and sort of marched off the green because the tournament was over. And I said, my goodness gracious, this normally happens with a
Unbelievable.
trophy ceremony, but they were blocking the protesters. My weird shot of the day was watching that, sports fans.
Do we
You
know
know,
what they
I
were
heard about
protesting? Were they
this, Tina.
protesting
Go
golf?
ahead. I want you to comment. I heard about it, but I didn't see it. What is this world coming to?
Yeah, no kidding. What were they protesting? Do we know? Were they
But they
protesting at golf?
haven't, they were not given the reason in the story. I'm sorry. Wish I could give you
Oh,
an answer.
well, my wife's
yeah.
sister, my sister-in-law, Julia, and her family lived in Amsterdam for a number of years, even though they're all from the Ukraine. But they moved to and lived in Amsterdam for a number of years. I heard all kinds of different stories about Amsterdam, good and a little weird, but whatever. They now all live in Miami. They've moved to America. But anyway, well, we'll have to follow up on that. I'll go have a look at that video and maybe we'll look at that. I can't, oh boy, can you imagine if Craig Renshaw commented on that? All right. So, Tina, give us a little bit of what is your philosophy? I know you're a ping player forever. I know that you teach just anybody and everybody that wants to be with you and get your insight and your skill and your award-winning coaching and teaching. It's not easy to be a golf instructor. Golf is not a, let's call it a friendly game, certainly a beginner friendly game at all. And people need to see that ball get up off the ground and get airborne. And I've helped a lot of people get their ball airborne in some very simple ways that have excited them and helped them to want to, wow, oh, I want to now keep doing this. Tina, what's your best comments about this?
I think it's, pretty, I believe great coaching starts with just understanding the individual and helping each person be unique. So, my goal isn't to really, when someone's just starting, isn't to create, great, golf swings, is to create someone different, to create their own swing. If someone's coming to me that's already a player that's had a lot of experience, an experienced player, I'm just trying to help them figure out what's going wrong with their golf swing, or help them figure out how they can improve what's happening in their golf swing. If someone is competitive and wants to go to the next step, then we assess the situation and then work together to get to the next step. It's all about what their goals are. So I think,
What
over
kind?
35 years, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask, what kind of technology do you use? I went to the PGA show, the merchandise show. I go every year. This was my 22nd year a few months back. And you see all of the toys, all of the gadgets, all the technology, all of the innovations. And it's just overwhelming. Not only how smart people are, but how innovative they are. And how technically advanced the game has become. Patsy King talked about the technology and the advancement of the game through technology. She talked a little bit about the ball and the ball rollback the other day. Folks, if you want to hear those interviews and the one today with Tina Toombs and any show, you go to go the golfnewsnet.com. Both my Great American Golf Show on Saturday morning and this Monday Golf Lifestyle show. On at 6 p.m. on Monday evenings during the drive. Those are both Arizona times, but it's on the golfnewsnet.com. 1.5 million visitors go there every month and more. You go to the radio tab, you find the shows, they're there a couple days. But then the Golf News Net sends the shows over to under my names of the Great American Golf or Monday Golf Lifestyle Show or Ray's Monday Lifestyle Show to all the big audio platforms, television the same way, over on the big video platforms. Wherever you get your podcasts, you want to go there. And you might want to go to listen to some of the things that Betsy King said on Saturday. She talked about so many different things. And also today, you're going to want to go if you miss the show. Make sure you let everybody know that you can pick up the shows at the Golf News Net for a couple days and then on all of your favorite podcast stations. So, Tina, what kind of technology do you use or do you think is the best technology in order to measure or to help you teach and coach your students?
I think technology is great because, numbers don't lie, right? So if I'm using technology, I have, I have TrackMan, I have a quad, and I also have FlightScope. So I use all three of those at different settings in my instruction. But I also use 3D force plates because I believe using the ground and being, using the ground for power and timing, the sequencing of the golf swing is really important. So it depends on who's in front of me and what the student, is wanting in their lesson. And I want to, my goal is to help the golfer become the best version of themselves. So whatever technology I have, I pretty much have everything that you could possibly have. I use video and any kind of training tool that's out there, I pretty much have. So it just is dependent upon what the goal is of the golfer and what we're trying to create and what I use. But at every lesson, I'm using some kind of launch monitor and video to give great feedback to the students so that they can see and feel the differences, and then we can create the motion that they want to create with numbers so that the feedback is correct. So it's not just me seeing it, because eyes don't give you the best I don't believe eyes give you the best feedback for a student. I really do believe numbers tell you the right story. So that's how I try and do it is
Very
numbers don't
good.
lie. The ball never lies, actually.
You're listening to Tina Toombs, former LPGA Tour player, winner there, and a longtime nationally ranked golf instructor, award winner. I'm looking at you, Tina, and I'm seeing the forest behind you, and I'm just so I'm so mad. I can't
You're
take
so
it.
mad.
No, I'm not mad anymore, actually. I'm going to break down in tears, folks. I can't take it.
Well, I'm driving back to Phoenix this afternoon and I'll be
Don't
out on the
do it.
lesson tee tomorrow. No, I'm out on the lesson tee for the next 4 days. So there you
Okay,
go.
good. Listen, well, there you go. Tina's coming back to Phoenix. She's going to be on the lesson tee. Get out there early in the morning when it's not so hot and go book your lesson with Tina Toombs. Contact Gainey Ranch Golf Club. Look it up and contact them. I don't have their number offhand, but you can certainly find it. And you can find Tina Toombs as well. You can even write to Tina. Tina, do you mind if I give him your email
No,
address?
give him my email. I'd love it.
It's T Toombs Golf
Golf.
at gmail.com.
Correct. And Toombs is TOMBS, just with one O. There you go.
There you go. TTOMBS Golf at gmail.com. Bob, I know that
Correct.
you have a question for Tina Toombs. We have a minute. Go for it.
Tina, just a general question. When you watch some of these great stars that are out there on the amateur ranks trying to get it into the pro ranks, do you feel that they're getting too much coaching, or are they just getting into it and they just feel that they are okay at their steps right now? Because sometimes they get over the top with coaching.
I see some of them are getting over, like are overcoached. And I think it feeds itself out. It weeds out the kids that are getting overcoached and those that are overplayed. I think I know the young juniors that are getting overcoached by coaches, parents, trainers. It does weed itself out. And if it doesn't, by the time they get to college, I mean, eventually I think it does. They just burn out. There is a burnout. You can see it by the young kids that are not happy when they're getting overcoached, and I think it finally will burn out. The players that are playing great golf on tour and that last, I think, are the ones that just really have the passion for playing golf and really want to play golf and are doing it at their own pace. And that's what I like to see. I mean, the juniors that I teach and the young players that are te that I'm teaching really love it, and their parents are bringing them there because they want to be there. And I think I'm hoping that that's the future of the game versus, just the coaches jumping in and saying you have to do this, have to do that, and trainers. There's a lot of kids that are just being trained in the gym and not doing other sports. And I think other sports are really important so that we're cross-training these young kids and athletes in college as well, so that injury is prevented. And I think that's important because you don't want injury because injury will also deter yourself from being successful. So
Okay.
that's what I look at.
Question from one of our listeners for Tina Toombs. Well, there were a couple of listeners that weighed in here just a couple moments ago. One of them paid a great compliment to the show, and they said, "I really like how the show goes between the guest and the different things that the guests represent, and the different topics of the show, and how the show goes back and forth." Switching back and forth between those, and it keeps me on my toes to listen. What a nice
That's
compliment.
great.
I never thought of it that way. Thank you very much
That's great.
for that
That's great.
compliment. Thank you for that compliment. Well, we're working on it. And then for Tina. Tina, I watched the Women's US Open and I saw how the leaders were chipping the ball so amazing. I want to be able to chip the ball like that. And I think that I should be able to do it. How can I get better at chipping the ball?
Well, I think one of the biggest secrets of chipping and pitching is one, you want to get fitted for your short game wedges. I think your wedges are an important part of the game that a lot of people do not get fitted for. So I
Wow.
think that's one part. The second thing is that our setup is will determine the success of your short game. And I think when people are setting up, you'll notice that yesterday and this weekend when we were watching the Open and even the men's event that, their setups changed for the different shots that they were hitting, and why we set up differently for different shots is so that we can execute the shot we want to hit, as opposed to trying to hit the shot with the wrong setup. So one of the biggest things that I teach all my students, whether we're beginners, is how to set up for the shot that we intend to hit. And one of those things is to make sure that our nose and our sternum is in line with the ball at all times on short game, because if it's behind the ball, that's where we're going to hit the ground. If it's in front of the ball, that's where we make contact to the ground. And you'll notice that in professional golfers, their nose and their sternum is always in line with the point of contact. It's not falling behind, so the hands aren't leading too far ahead, so the upper body doesn't fall behind the ball. And so there's
I love practicing putting, Tina. And I love to putt, and I've always been a pretty good putter as an amateur player. I've been actually a good putter. But the most fun that I have when I'm practicing, by far, it's not the driver, it's not the irons. The most fun that I have is chipping the ball. I love to do 50 or 60 or 70 chips. And usually during that session, I will knock one or two of them in. And it is the biggest thrill. And I'm talking about not a chip of 8 or 10 feet, off the apron, and not a chip of, which is more of a pitch, of 70 or 80 feet on the whole other end of the earth part of the green. I'm talking about a nice chip 4 or 5 feet off of the green and to a pin that is, 30 feet. I think that is possibly the most needed distance. Tell me where I'm going wrong, Tina.
No, I believe it. I think so too.
As
And I
far
think
as
those are
amateur players, and we know we watch the tour players all the time chipping that amount, and we did at the US Open. So it's the most fun you can have, folks. Tina, go ahead.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, to improve, the fastest way to improve is to prove your chipping and your putting, right? So that 20 yard, 25, 30 yard, 20 to 30 yard, chip or pitch is a finesse shot, and it's around the green, and we have those shots all the time around the green. And I think it's one of those shots that people just don't practice anymore. And if we can get that 20 to 30 yard shot down, and it's not just about, getting the ball close to the hole, or we our end result is to get it close to the hole, but it's also about knowing where we want to land the ball. So you've got to pick your landing spot. Know where you want to land it and how far you want to roll it, because you could be 20 yards from the hole, but you could have a 10 yard fly and then a 10 yard roll, and then you could be 5 yards from your landing spot. So it's about adjusting and being adaptable to all those different situations. And all those situations happened in the tournament this weekend, where they were adjusting how far they wanted to fly it and roll it. And so when you're out there practicing, if you have 30 minutes to practice, spend 20, 25 minutes on your short game and then hit a few balls. Most people go to the range and hit balls and don't spend any time chipping and putting. And I tell my students, putt first, chip second, go hit balls third, because we can always stretch and loosen up to be loose to hit balls. Most people go to the range and don't have time to spend on the putting green or the chipping green, so they don't have the feel to go play to shoot low scores. So it's the opposite. You want a short game first, then hit some balls. If you don't hit any balls, you can stretch.
All right. Well, we want you to go see Tina Toombs for your next lesson, folks. I don't care if you're just beginning the game, male or female, a young person, a junior player, or if you're on some mini tour somewhere, or if you're an elderly person and you're losing distance and you need some more, bandwidth as far as your swing goes. Anybody and everybody needs to go see you, Tina, and they do that by going to Gainey Ranch Golf Club. Now, where
Golf
you
club.
are seated, nested, you are holding court there, and we want you to drive very carefully this afternoon,
Thank you.
coming down the hill, we call it.
Yes.
And Tina will be teaching the next few days, so make sure you come. Tina, thank you so much. Tina will be coming
Well,
back on
thank
with
you.
us in the future, more and more and more. Tina, thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Bob. Good seeing you both.
Nice to meet you.
All right,
Thank
there
you.
she is, one of our great women in golf, Bob. All right, listen, we did not mention that there was a playoff at Jack's Memorial Golf Tournament, and we need to do that. Bob, take over.
Yes, JT Poston birdies the last hole in regulation to send it to a playoff, and he defeats Ryan Gerard on the second playoff hole with a par at Jack's Place. And the Memorial Tournament looked great on television and played well. It wasn't disrupted by weather as it normally has been. I will say that it was it really good to see them as well, and that the tournament was pretty solid, and that the golf course, it showed well.
Yeah, but I'm saddened again by the playoff. Playoffs are starting to make me sad because I'm rooting for both guys, but I always have a little bit more. It's kind of like Animal Farm, the book. All animals are created equal, but some are more equal than others. I know that was a whole political philosophical thing, but it's kind of that way in playoffs with me. All the players that are in playoffs are equal. I mean, they're there, they got there, they're excited to be there, but obviously they want to win. And when one doesn't, I'm a bit saddened by it, because two equal players, and they both finished at the same score, so they tied for the win, but you don't have a winner until you have a playoff. So
I
only one
had a
person.
coaching friend way back, Ray, and he was a basketball coach, and he said 50% of us are losers every week.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was very simple, but it was true.
Well, as great as a well, listen, I know a lot of Major League Baseball players. I know obviously a lot of tour players. Tiger Woods lost more golf tournaments than he won. Now you think about that for a minute, and people will say, oh, wait a minute now. Well, so did Nicklaus. Well, how
Ted
many
Williams
times?
actually Ted Williams actually struck out once or twice.
Well, but look, if you bat 300 in the big leagues, if you go to the bigs and you bat 300, not only you're going to win, you're going to make hundreds of millions of dollars. But that means that that's 3/10 of it. Okay,
But
that's
he
a
was a
third of the.
400 hitter. He was a 400
Okay,
hitter.
but that's still only 40
Yeah.
percent.
But it proves that you've got it, you're human.
60% of the time. He didn't. And
You're
most of
human. Yes.
we're human beings. That is correct.
All right.
So, all right. Well, Jack's Memorial was a wonderful event, and they had so many special things happening. We'll talk more about that this coming Saturday on Great American Golf. We'll do a little bit more wrap up of the Women's US Open, a little bit more wrap up of Jack's Memorial. We'll be into the middle of a whole new weekend of golf. And of course, congratulations to Tyrrell Hatton. He wins over on the LIV Tour and LIV Golf League. And so many great things happening. And I've got to say thanks to some of these companies that were in my recent summer golf product guide, Ashworth Golf Apparel. You want to go to Ashworth's website and you want to find out more about Ashworth Golf Apparel. Folks, when you wear Ashworth golf apparel, you're wearing a part of golf history. I've mentioned Tour Edge. I've mentioned Squares. I also want to tell you about Free Baller, unbelievable fun company. Free Baller. Free Baller is a business, a company, a golf invention, a ball retriever with a black light on it, to where you can go in the evenings. With the golf course's permission, and you can find golf balls. That's why they call it free baller, because you're getting free balls. And this device is a free baller. Go to freeballer.com, freeballer.com, and find out more about this wonderful, innovative product. And then I want to tell you about NOX1, the F1 single rider golf cart at NOX1.com. INNOXONE, NOX1.com. Met them at the PGA Merchandise Show a couple of years ago, did a video with Mr. Kim, the CEO, the inventor of the NOX1 F1 single rider golf club. They have just had their grand opening of their new retail store in San Juan Capistrano, California. Go to NOX1.com, folks, and find out a lot more about this wonderful company. And then I was at Back Nine's grand opening on Saturday. That's right, day before yesterday, right here in Anthem, part of my Anthem only segment. I was at the Back Nine Indoor Golf Simulator business, and they've got multiple bays with wonderful golf simulators where you can play for an hour or play for the day. They keep it a 72 degree temperature, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week, where you have your own private entrance card, as well as they have food and drink when they're there manning the, manning a back nine golf, and so many fun things to do there. You can bring your friends. They have memberships, just like any club would, golf club would. Back Nine's grand opening, and you want to go there and find out more about Back Nine because there may be even a Back Nine in your neighborhood if you're listening in another city. But certainly, the Back Nine Golf right here in Anthem, in the Safeway parking lot, and you can go to thebacknine.golf.com to find out more about that great company. And then, of course, I mentioned CertaFresh Cigar. And then I also want to make sure that you know about the golf puck. The golf puck is one of the most astounding alignment tools that I've ever seen. So you want to go to the golf puck. It is brought to you by Aculine. And you can go there, golfpuck.com, Aculine, find out more about it. Make sure you get that. And then I also want to mention to you, Found It Golf. Found It is where they have the vendor has the sticker, which is a QR code. It's a perfect circle that fits the butt end of your grip. And when you scan that, you're able to go in and you will be able to register and find lost golf clubs, clubs you left out in the fairway, clubs you left on the tee, clubs you might have left at the green along the way. There's probably a million golf clubs that are left behind every year in America. I'll get some exact stats from Found It Golf, but you want to go to figolf.com, Found It Golf. We're so glad they're on board. And I also want to thank Kian, the young inventor and purveyor of Greenside Essentials. He not only just ha doesn't have one of the coolest golf towels I've ever seen, but he has now created a line of golf hats. And those are in my 2026 Summer Golf Product Guide. This went out about 7 or 8 days ago. It went out to the big list everywhere. And so many people got it. I had a great send rate, a great open rate, click-through rates for all the companies were very strong. And folks, if you would like to get my golf gift guides through the seasons, if you would like to get my product guides, if you'd like to be on my big list, all you have to do is write to me, golfadams@msn.com. Golfadams@msn.com. Thanks a lot so very much for being a part of us and everything going on at Great American Golf and this Monday Golf Lifestyle Show here at Great American Golf Media. We'll be with you this coming Saturday on Great American Golf. Enjoy your week. Your game. Don't forget to practice and have fun. Wear that sunscreen and make sure you hydrate with both water and electrolyte beverages. Talk to you soon.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.